Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 537. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Galamino. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, we're doing the late record post-hockey game. The Blue Jackets, at least when by the time we left, they were up 5-2, so I'm assuming they did not completely collapse and lose that game. So there's that. I can talk hockey for a while because from what I heard, you're not probably really ready to talk more WWE at this point, huh?
Why would you say that?
I happened to listen to last week's show with you and Jeremy, and, the show actually kind of got me to thinking of how much I've been hanging my my enjoyment of the WWE on the wrestling itself and not the angles. And it really kind of made me wonder how long it's been since I've liked, let's just say, a majority, so 51% of the angles going on at any one time. Like, it's probably been quite some time at this juncture. It's just kind of really bad right now.
No, you're not wrong at all. It's WWE TV is pretty. It can range from nonsensical to just plain dull. There's not much. There's not a lot. You know. There's not a lot of meat on the bone right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's some of it's just because all the shifting around that they've done, or, you know, what kind of is the root of the problem. Like, yeah, I mean, because there's some enjoyable acts going on right now, but they're also not getting a whole lot of time. Like, I guess I like the Kabuki Warriors, especially since they've gone heel, but and I guess this is kind of the one thing about Survivor Series is any and all storylines get ugly because of how many people you need to involve in this event.
Correct.
You should be able to write around it better than the WWE has.
Survivor Series, period. Some of a lot of it doesn't make sense. I mean, the biggest thing that doesn't make sense is why does anyone really care about brand supremacy? You know, why do enemies team? There's no stakes in who wins or loses at Survivor Series, or who runs up the most points on the scoreboard. Last year, SmackDown lost every single match, and there was absolutely zero follow-up and zero consequences for that. Now, plans might have changed, but that ended up being really stupid. I mean, Survivor Series, the show on Sunday, on paper, the show actually looks pretty good. But getting there, it can be a real mess.
Yeah, I guess something in my brain triggered after I was talking about about the wrestling, about how I think I'd thrown out the idea of just watching pay-per-views at this point. And it really isn't the craziest thought to have, honestly. Because like you said, like, I forget, I think it was Cam Hawkins. I saw him list like three of the matches that are going to happen. It's Survivor Series, and he's just like, well, yeah, I'm kind of in off of just those. And, you know, it would save a real hassle, a whole lot of hassle.
To watch pay-per-view. Maybe this is more something we should talk off the air, but maybe we should just move the wrestling show to after NXT and AEW. And you and Ken do OPA earlier in the week.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've already started to try to do that. Thursday still is proving to be tricky for recording still. Yeah, I mean, even though, well, yeah, those two shows are definitely, well, NXT, and I guess to kind of go on the Survivor Series route is where my brain was recentering on. Like, to me, it's been a no-brainer that NXT has been the best brand recently. It within the WWE, even before they got on TV, like
Right.
TV. So I mean, I guess in my mind there isn't much of a contest because even though SmackDown has had moments, especially when they go as we've coined the phrase, I believe, "asshole SmackDown," those have only been flashes, though, and I don't feel like SmackDown has had anything special going for it
No,
as of
SmackDown has
recently.
been, it's, I mean, it's short, in many ways, I mean, it's hard to compare it because Raw has that extra hour that drags, but overall, I don't feel like SmackDown has been the better show since they moved to Fox. I don't know what how Fox Network really feels about it, but it definitely feels like the show, like, it's, I don't feel like the show has more life than it did on USA.
Oh.
I mean, if anything, overall, I mean, WWE is a main roster WWE. Let's remove NXT from the equation. Is having a really it's a bad year. This is the, I mean, I don't know if anyone can really defend, especially if you count a WWE year as being from WrestleMania
Oh.
to WrestleMania. I mean, these
Yeah.
last 6, 7 months have been pretty brutal.
Yeah, I mean it. And I guess that is kind of a decent point. Like, it's, yeah, if you're considering it from their year, from the start of WrestleMania, it was okay after WrestleMania, but things went downhill pretty quickly
Yeah,
after
it has. I
that.
mean, WWE, it is very bad creative. It's, you know, it's a stale format. And you know what? For all the talk of what could have happened, it was going to happen in the new fall season, other than some cosmetic changes to the rampway and the entrance stage, and bringing Pyro back because they can afford it now. I mean, nothing has changed.
Yeah,
The
that was
shows are
something
still.
that I mean, you kind of mentioned it that I hadn't thought about that much was that, I guess other like on Fox, like I guess it was kind of expecting that real brand split kind of thing to go on because two different networks would at least have some influence on the product. And I just haven't even noticed anything like other than them using different cameras on Fox because I do feel like the picture is different. Yeah, like how the show is set up and played and everything and how the show plays out really hasn't changed at all.
It's the overall format of WWE TV hasn't changed in 20 years. I mean, everything is programmed to come to a head at the top of every hour. You know, you can check out at from 8:15 to 8:45. You can check out from 9:15 to 9:45. You can check out from 10:15 to 10:45, basically. Well, maybe 10:15 to 10:30, maybe, or what have you, because they do now stop Raw at right at the top, right at 11 o'clock now.
Oh.
I mean, have something cool happen at 9:30 9:17. You know?
Yeah, it would not hurt. It definitely would not hurt to do anything to truly mix up the product. And I guess to go back that, I guess just the way even the WWE was describing it, you know, you kind of expected Fox to kind of have a real vibe, but it's just like, no, we're just not on the same network every night of the week.
No, and I mean, and they did nothing to really set themselves up to, you know, keep that audience, keep that 4 million, you know, or what have you audience that tuned in for that first episode of SmackDown on Fox, you know, with the promise of an appearance by The Rock and Brock's first match in years, and, you know, basically false advertising appearances by a bunch of people who didn't appear on the show, such as Austin and Undertaker. And then the ratings for that show have gone down since. We're in, you know, the NXT angle at first seemed to help out, but even that, of course, you know, diminishing returns sets in, and they don't take it to another level. Yeah, there's just, as I said, I'm. You know, Raw is Raw, but I am very disappointed that SmackDown doesn't feel any different.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's probably why I'm concentrating on it, because it was the one that moved to a different network. You know, why would Raw change if USA's liked that format for however many years it's been at this juncture? You know, why would they care extra now? You know, I can kind of understand from Fox, just because they laid out all that money, and they did, I guess you would think that they'd kind of want to, I don't know if they want to have them, I'm going back to when they had the UFC, and they're kind of replacing the UFC with the WWE, even though I believe that there was a several month span where neither was on the network, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, I guess UFC didn't really change a whole lot when they were on Fox either, though. Come to think of it. Do you think that their programming was any different on Fox than it was on?
I don't watch UFC, so I don't. I have no fucking clue.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. Yeah, I guess I'm feeling like there wasn't that much of a difference there. So maybe now that I'm looking back on a little bit of a track record, but I mean, I guess to kind of go back to that thought though too, is that they lost the UFC. If you kind of want to keep a somewhat major partner in the WWE, I guess I would expect maybe a little more hands-on than USA Network has. And just the sheer amount of money, because that's still a larger contract than was the one that they re-signed with USA.
I think they're about the same.
Okay.
This is just broadcast television, which is a higher standard. Although I'm not really sure if that even is totally the case anymore, but yeah, no, I mean since that first episode on Fox, it's, you know, they really haven't done anything special to differentiate the show. Of course, now jumping right from the wild card rule to a draft. But then to Survivor Series season, where people from Raw and SmackDown will show up on each other's shows, it was definitely jarring. You know the talk about, you know, a strict brand split, and then have to jump to Survivor Series season.
Yeah, I don't think that is helping them at all. But that's also not really an excuse. And I guess it is also one of those things where this is always, it's always kind of a bad time of the year for the WWE. You know, I always feel like they always seem to start to get their shit together around December, either late December or January.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean,
so this is kind of a lost season almost.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff that they've done with the, you know, the interbrand stuff has been good. So a lot, some of the others, you know, there was good stuff on Raw last night. Is, you know, really the only good stuff was when someone from another show, you know, showed up and did something. You know, I mean, turning Survivor Series essentially into the All-Star Game, it has its benefits and it has its positives. It has its positives and it has its negatives.
Yeah, I do think that obviously, like most of the rest of the year,
because if it was just each brand's angles taking center stage right now, the shows would probably be worse. We would have more. A lot of Lashley promo time. There would be more Seth Rollins.
Oh boy. Yeah, I mean, I just think that Lana is actively bad at promos.
Yeah,
Seth Rollins.
She's worse talking in her natural voice somehow.
Yeah, I mean, she just doesn't seem natural for whatever reason.
No, she seemed more natural when she was using a fake Russian accent. As silly as that sounds.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, her and Rusev are married in real life, and this whole thing, you know, it might be awkward for them. I don't know. I don't know them, so. But yeah, it's, you know, once again, and that's the main solo angle on Raw right now. I guess you could count Brock Lesnar and Rey Mysterio, which, you know, that's been fine, that's been good. But Brock also hasn't been on TV the last couple of weeks, so they haven't really gotten to do anything, you know, new to push that other than video and promo work, which is fine.
Yeah,
I am interested in that match. I think that has the potential to really be something.
Yeah, I mean, especially since they went no DQ this week, I guess it was to be expected since Ray's been using mainly a baseball bat. Although
it's a lead pipe.
Oh, okay.
Wrapped in tape.
Ah, okie dokie. Well. Than a very large, unusually large lead pipe. I always feel like they're always a little shorter than that when they used to use it old school style. It's like for some reason it could only be 2 foot long. Yeah, I mean, it allows Ray to get in more offense without looking completely unusual. Given the size difference.
Yeah, it does. I mean, with Ray being able to use weapons and Brock coming in, you know, working a knee injury, and Paul Heyman saying that, you know, basically coming out and saying that this is not going to be a... He's coming out and saying this is not going to be a short match. Brock is going to take his time, and he is going to torture Rey Mysterio. It's going to be a miracle or a massacre. So they are going to, you know, once again, try to have that Brock Lesnar, you know, great match with a smaller guy and having it be no DQ. So yeah, no, that's good. I think the decision to have, you know, regular championships, you know, singles championship matches on the Brand Supremacy gimmick show with a lot of tag matches. I think it was a good call. It once again, I said before, the you know, one of the issues with Survivor Series has been, the last few years, has been no real stakes on the line. Oh. So if you actually take the main champions out of the brand supremacy part of the story and actually have them defend their championships, it puts something tangible at stake. So no, I like that a lot. And you know, they've done a good job with the Brock Lesnar Rey Mysterio story. I mean, they did the ultimate personal storyline of having involving a man's son involved, and doing the deal with Cain Velasquez to bridge us to this point with Brock and Rey one on one in the ultimate David versus Goliath affair. That's been done very well. So I don't want this to be a total negative show.
Because
that's no fun. I mean,
well, those seem to be a lot of fun, or people are definitely attracted to them. One spot that I was thinking of that I really enjoyed on Raw last night was Samoa Joe is a commentator.
Yeah, Samoa Joe was really good. I like Samoa Joe a lot. It's got me wondering if Dio Madden is done for good, or if he's just still selling the beating from the F5 through the table. That'll be an interesting thing to follow. I mean, Samoa Joe seems to have a hand injury, and those don't typically keep, or hand or wrist injury, that those don't typically seem to keep wrestlers out for very long, so I don't think that this is going to be a long-term thing with Joe on commentary, but it was definitely, it provided a different dynamic. I think Joe was that rare wrestler who was immediately comfortable doing commentary the first time, so that was good.
Because I'm trying to think of,
I mean, the only other person I could really think of who would be Taz then.
Oh,
who just, yeah. While he was still an active wrestler, sat in on commentary one night and, while he was doing an angle with Jerry Lawler and he just did a really good job, and eventually that turned into his full-time gig.
Yeah. I feel like Taz and, Michael Cole, good God, Corey Graves have had a similar trajectory, in my opinion.
If anything, Corey Graves' commentary has actually gotten worse from when he started doing commentary in NXT.
Well, yeah, I guess that's what I kind of mean. Like, I remembered loving Taz when he first got on and being a big proponent, and then, like, 3 years into Taz going, oh my God, just make this stop. I kind of feel that way more times than not with Graves now. So,
yeah.
It's been pretty interesting, I suppose, in that regard. But yeah, I mean, I guess I hope for Dio's sake, like, I don't know, was Dio with Vic Joseph or on UK or something like that, or what?
I think it was 205 Live they were on.
Oh, okay.
But for a very short time. I mean, Dio has very little experience.
Oh, okay. Well, that was something I was trying to get to, too.
It was an interesting decision to even put him in that spot. I mean, Vic has been cutting his teeth on the C shows for a while now, for at least a year or two. Dio just got moved up to the main show with maybe less than a month. It was something pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, when I read the name, I'm like, what in the world? Like, who in the world is this? Like, I mean, I just had no clue who it was. Like, you know, normally you just, I guess I'd either expect someone who is backstage, because, I mean, I know that Vic was doing some interviews for a while. It wasn't very long, but I know that he did do that role for a while and moved to the commentary booth. You know, you kind of expect to see the name around for a little bit before they get popped into something like that, especially when, like, I shouldn't say the whole SmackDown team, but Byron Saxton and Tom Phillips got banished to Antarctica, as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Phillips is definitely doing NXT UK and I think 205 Live. I think Byron might be doing Main Event now, or which isn't even on TV in the US. I don't know. I was not a fan of the way they were treated, no matter what you think of their commentary, because there's no such thing as a great commentary team in modern WWE.
Oh, no. And I guess I didn't have any problems with Tom Phillips. I always thought that he actually worked fairly well with Graves. And I don't know, maybe it was not having him around that let Graves go off the rails, honestly. Or maybe it's just the NXT format helps everyone, period, end of sentence. I'm sure one could argue that.
I mean, I found that moving to a two-man booth on SmackDown with just Cole and Graves has made them better. I do think that.
I'm not sure I'm gonna amend my sentence at the current moment about the Graves not enjoying his commentary, but I definitely haven't been as off put. And I do think, you know, I think the two of us talked about it a lot. He just, you could tell that he was tired of doing commentary by, if it wasn't the beginning of SmackDown, it was definitely halfway through SmackDown was silly time. Just because he had been in a booth talking for so long.
I am definitely glad that Raw and SmackDown have, you know, 4 days in between now, or well, on the way, you know, the opposite way. I guess it's 3 days, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I always think of everything in a work week kind of Monday is the first day.
I absolutely do too.
I know that some people believe that whole Sunday is the first day of the week funniness, but
I mean, from a viewing standpoint, Monday, you know, Raw being on Monday, SmackDown being on Friday, it is more ideal. But from the standpoint of doing this show, it has not been.
Uh-oh. Yeah, because well, there's always two things to that, is that there's literally wrestling on every day of the week. Like, I'm not sure why I'm not probably watching an old Impact right now. Yeah, because there's five of them on my DVR.
Next week they're taking those words "old Impact" literally, because they're doing their an 80s themed episode.
You know. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because, like, I like the idea, but it's another one where I kind of question the timing. Like, you just kind of get your first decent network in, how many years has it been now? 5 years that they've been on some terrible-ass network?
Well, I had Destination America. I had Pop TV. I still don't have Access TV. So I'm gonna have to watch that. They've intrigued me enough that next week I will pop on Twitch to watch Impact from 8 to 10 o'clock. Actually, yeah. You know what? That's how we can change up to next week's episode. Let's talk about Impact.
Yeah, unfortunately, I probably won't be able to watch it live, so I might only be able to catch the first hour. But sure, I mean, that sounds like a plan. But yeah, that does...
We're changing things up, too.
It, It does have my interest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing to do. It's a gimmick thing to do. I mean, their next pay-per-view is until like January. So, and it is Thanksgiving week. So to just do and instead of doing a silly holiday episode where someone, you know, dresses up like a turkey and gets a pumpkin pie and gets a pie shoved in their face, do the 80s episode, you know, that they've done a million times. Do an 80s episode. Do an episode where you say you found footage from 1983 and we're wearing it for the first time in over 35 years. No. You know what? Have added Impact.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you should do it this soon after being on Access. Although I guess I think of it as something big, but how? What was the station it was on prior to? Was the Wildlife Network?
Pursuit.
Good Lord.
Yes, that was rock bottom.
And who was it right before that?
That was Pop TV.
Oh, okay, that was Pop. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I guess Pop was in a decent chunk of places, because they weren't on Pursuit for that long, were they? Too?
No, it was old. I think it was a year or less.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I guess timing wise, I don't think it's the best, just because you kind of got back on a slightly better network. It's definitely better than Pursuit.
Oh, it's by far better than Pursuit. It's just not a network my cable system carries at this point. They used to, but then actually they still probably actually it has been on WoW since it was probably HDNet.
Oh yeah, I remember HDNet.
Yeah. So yeah. In the name change and whatever carriage fees issues there were. Yeah, it's been gone for quite a while. So yeah, I mean, but it is a better network. It's probably the best network they've had in a pretty long time. It's a network that has at least has sports and pop music related programming that at least somewhat better vibes with having a wrestling show, and it's obviously got other wrestling shows already on it, as opposed to throwing it on the poor man's Discovery Channel or whatever the hell Destination America was trying to be, or or Pop TV, the American home of Schitt's Creek, which supposedly is a good show. I've still never watched it, but
yeah,
Pop TV didn't have much else either.
Yeah, the name put me off, but then I looked at the people and I'm like, damn, I guess that should be funny. And I still haven't watched it.
Nah, it's in my Netflix list. I'll eventually get to it.
Fair enough.
But demographic wise, the Access TV is definitely a better fit for Impact, and of course, the people who own Impact also now own Access TV. And they still have their Twitch deal, so which provides, which I've gathered. Provide some entertainment with the because when Access TV goes to commercial break, they do scenes where with whatever announcer in their own home, you know, basically doing a running commentary on the show or answering viewer questions from Twitter.
Oh, well, that's
and sometimes that gets a. Because it's a pretty low tech thing they're doing. I guess there can be some amusing mix ups.
Yeah, I'm here for like that. Actually, sounds kind of entertaining.
I mean, it literally is like Josh or Melissa Santos like on their webcam at home.
Oh, I wondered why someone made that joke about, well, that wasn't filmed on
Josh.
Well,
that was something else. That was something else entirely. That was a special. That was like a Twitch live event special.
Oh, okay.
You haven't heard that they did from basically some arena. I mean, what Impact doesn't do, you know, house shows anymore, but they partner with independent promotions who do co-branded shows, and that's what this was supposed to be. But they didn't they didn't do any kind of a site survey regarding the Wi-Fi at this building.
Oh.
So yeah. they had no internet, so they had to run off of Josh Matthews' phone. And then when Josh Matthews needed his phone back, the show went off the air for about 20 minutes until they could get a new phone. It was the most Bush League thing ever.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, like, that just makes me laugh just because, I mean, Absolute Intense Wrestling has even said on their podcast that, like, oh, yeah, we can't do a live stream from there because the Wi-Fi is garbage. Like, yeah, I mean,
the AIW show at the end of the month is you know, not at the Odeon. It's at a different building in a different part of Cleveland, so the show at the Black Friday show is not going to be on Fight, but the post Christmas week show is going to be on Fight because they're back at the Odeon. So I think that what they're going to do now is only Odeon shows are going to be on Fight TV.
That would appear to be the case.
Yeah,
but I mean, it does.
I mean, they tried it with that Janela farewell show from Bar Show. I don't know how well that turned out. I know they didn't do great numbers for that show, but I don't know if they had any major technical issues. They haven't gotten to that on the podcast yet. I think only having Odeon shows and just, you know, quote unquote the big shows on Fight is probably a good idea for them.
Yeah, that would seem to be a smart choice rather than doing them on a month to month basis. But I guess it just made me crack up that literally a guy that needs a day job. Who's running that organization thought about the Wi-Fi situation and the entire brain trust down at Impact hadn't had this thought cross their mind before going to whatever arena caused this problem. That's just gonna make me laugh.
Yeah, it was hilarious. It was I didn't see any of it, but it made for an amusing night on Twitter, following the accounts that were watching that train wreck.
Oh man!
But Impact just keeps chugging along.
Yeah, they're like a zombie. It's just
they really are. I mean, really at this point. I don't know if they should do a goofy theme every week, but at this point, it really couldn't even hurt.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's still tough. Like, this show is still one that gets put on the back burner for me. Like, I guess, there's still just a crazy amount of wrestling on if you want to get it with, you know, and without even getting too kind of out there. Like, I mean, right now I still have Impact, ROH, all three of the brands for the WWE and AEW taping. Like, that's without hopping on for online for MLW or one of those AIW shows. Yeah, and Impact is still just kind of in that spot. Like, they because I don't know if I'd watch on a weekly basis if they did that old-timey thing or did something retro every week.
Right.
Like, at some point I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm just kind of gimmicked out here. So they could do that, but I'm not sure that that's going to draw me in either. I still think that they kind of need some work on their stories, but that's just me. That seems pretty common in wrestling today, just in general, come to think of it. Just because the WWE's having so many problems, too. Do you think that... have you gotten any sense of the storytelling in AEW?
I mean, it's pretty simple at this point. I mean, they have their champions. Well, here's the thing. AEW, much like NXT, they're both very wrestling heavy products. There is a significantly larger amount of in-ring time to promo and video time on those shows. Those shows have been getting better at doing that. Okay, let's just focus on AEW.
Sure, yeah.
Their last pay-per-view had only had like three or four matches announced until the last week. Now WWE has done that as well, but this was AEW's first pay-per-view since being on TV, and only really the top-level stuff with Jericho and his group and Cody and the rest of the Elite guys, only that stuff had any real stories to it. I mean, yeah, AEW right now is again, it's still a good show most weeks. But I don't feel like it's getting better though. It feels like it's either leveling out or getting a little, worse in regard of, trying to tell stories. It's a lot of, this guy wrestles this guy. Maybe someone else jumps in, or maybe, someone jumps someone else from behind afterward to continue an angle. Once again. Not a heck of a lot of promos. Still, a number of talents who, really haven't gotten any strong promo time on AEW.
Yeah, I mean, you could even say that to me, it's kind of interesting. I know he's not like Joey Janela is just a guy that it would seem like he had some level of push behind him entering this whole thing, but he's kind of found himself on the sidelines a bit.
Yeah, right now he's feuding with Sean Spears, who is just the definition of average in just all of wrestling. I guess it's something for him to do, but they had. I mean, the best episode I feel like they've had so far in I think 6 weeks. Was the episode with where Jericho defended the title against Darby Allin, and Darby Allin had a what should have been a star-making performance that was not followed up on for the next 3 weeks. Darby Allin was not on TV again until last Wednesday's show, which where he scored he got a good reaction. He scored a win, got a small amount of promo time, challenged Jon Moxley, which that's a match I'm looking forward to on tomorrow's show, or tonight's show, I should say, when most people are going to be listening to this.
Right.
But once again, that lack of a follow-up was almost criminal from something that should have been a lot more important.
Yeah, it would have been nice to get a little more going on for him. But I was glad that, yeah, he is the guy to challenge Moxley just because it gives him another high-profile match. But I'd also think that he'd probably end up losing in the end, too, which.
Yeah, Moxley needs that. They do need to get Moxley, back, kind of really up and running, especially as far as the way they're doing things, as far as a win, to keep a track of wins and losses and having a ranking system, since Moxley pretty much has only had like a handful of matches in AEW, and two of those were considered non-sanctioned lights out, so they don't count.
Yeah.
I mean, Moxley's a guy who should definitely be in the title contention, going into 2020 without a doubt. I mean, his whole angle with Kenny Omega was very weird, because they didn't seem to want to commit to Moxley being a total heel in that feud, and that
Oh.
this AEW audience is pretty much never going to boo Kenny Omega. So, they went out there to kill each other at the Full Gear pay-per-view for seemingly no reason, because they really didn't, they did some big angles, at the beginning, and then they kind of lost when Moxley wasn't able to do All Out in August. They really, lost a lot of the heat, and then when they got back on TV and started to build towards their match at Full Gear, they didn't really want to, as I said, commit to Moxley as a heel, because Moxley gets one of the still, even when he's fighting Kenny Omega, Moxley still gets one of the bigger, babyface pops of the night.
Yeah, he is still quite popular just for leaving the WWE.
Which, I mean, the fact is, in AEW, only Jericho and MJF seem to be committed to just being the hated heels of this promotion. Everyone else still seems to want to play it cool. I mean, I guess you could count Sean Spears as somebody who's a heel, but he's not a top guy. And so he's squarely in the mid card. I mean,
Yeah.
the worst offenders probably of what I'm talking about are the Lucha Brothers. They have done some dastardly heel acts in the short time of AEW, but their matches are just wall-to-wall high spots that people cheer them for. And they do all their taunts, and they essentially wrestle like baby faces when they're out there.
Yeah.
But they're supposed to be the heels.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they don't really, the AEW doesn't have a better line between face and heel than the WWE does right now.
They do not. No, they don't at all. And that's definitely it's definitely one of the problems. There's been not been great character development for the majority of the roster.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, it.
the best stuff in the company, from that perspective, is always whatever Cody's involved in, because Cody's the huge, the big baby face in this company, and first his feud with Jericho, and then now that's transitioning to a feud with MJF, who is also now, now that that cat's out of the bag, MJF can now be a complete, a total asshole heel who has no allegiance to anyone that the fans like.
Yeah, and that will be for the best. And I also think it's one of those things where, or it's one of those positions where I feel like I remembered seeing something online from someone about how great and refreshing the promos are in AEW since there aren't any writers involved. But I do think that.
That was Jeremy, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, then, I heard it from Jeremy. Listen to last week's show then. So
Maybe
go
someone else said it,
listen.
but I know that. But I know that was a Jeremy point.
So go listen to Stunt Granny Audio 536 if you haven't already. There's a difference between promos and storylines, and kind of having some type of continuity between the two. Like, there needs to be some type of drama, unless you're just gonna go straight kind of UFC type drama
Yeah,
stuff.
I mean, the issue with AEW and an issue with AEW, and it's definitely arguably even a bigger issue with NXT, is there's just too many long matches involving people I just don't care about.
Yeah, that can happen. Because I guess it has been interesting that NXT has not really changed anything, you know,
No,
since.
it's just 2 hours longer. It's just an hour longer, so they've got more time to fill. And instead of filling it with more promos or video stuff or they fill it with longer matches, and I'm not a fan of that at all. I don't think you don't get someone over by having them have a competitive, even if they win it definitively, having a competitive match with somebody else, the crowd, the audience isn't that invested in either. You do it with promos and with, basically, squash matches where it's just an exhibition of that per, of that person's, best moves.
Yeah, I'm trying to. You're saying that, and I'm trying to remember this past week on NXT. I feel like there was exactly the match that you're talking about, where I'm like, shouldn't this have been a squash match? But because it was against someone who kind of was a name, you kind of ended up with more of an even Steven match with the one guy going over. And I was hoping by talking about it more it'd trigger my brain, but do you remember
I don't remember the exact match. I don't have that in front of me right now.
Yeah, I did not have the NXT from last week pulled up, but yeah, I mean, I do feel like that happens now on that show. And it does kind of, go back to what I was talking about. Like, I guess because I've been getting those things, I've kind of probably given a lot of these promotions more of a pass than I normally would, honestly. But there is a point where you're just kind of watching more wrestling. You know, like, it is kind of crazy how just in general, no one has put a real stamp on wrestling. Is that
Oh,
fair?
it was was it Isaiah was it Isaiah Swerve Scott and Bronson Reed?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the match that went too long for, who was in the match and what, and just two guys who aren't over having matches with no st with nothing at stake.
Yeah, that was the other thing that was kind of a little bit weird. I feel like Swerve has won a few matches, but I was just like, oh, are they going to use this match to get Reed on track? And then after I saw him get in a bunch of offense, I'm like, oh, yeah, Swerve's losing this one because he's kind of the newer guy. And then he still ended up going over, and I got a little bit confused.
Yeah, I don't believe that. There's two guys who are that similar of a level with each other can't help the other get to, get to the next level in a competitive match. If Swerve had a match, say, with Roderick Strong that went, 10, 15 minutes and he almost got him, that's the type of match that can do be good for Swerve to Swerve's, to win. I
Right.
mean, to not win even, but beating Bronson Reed after, 15 minutes in a match that went through two commercial breaks, at that point, I'm not impressed. Because you beat someone who is either you took a really long time to beat someone who is at the same level of you as you, or arguably at a lower level than you.
Yeah.
And you're not already a made guy.
That, yeah, well, and even if you're a made guy, it kind of puts you in a shoddy spot.
If you're high enough on the totem pole and you've put in the work to earn earn that credibility. Like I said, I used the Roderick Strong example. Roderick Strong
Right.
could go, 10, 12 minutes with a guy lower on the card, but still beat him in a way that, keeps him at least at the same level, and then brings up the other guy.
Yeah. But I, 'cause I'm trying to think, did Swerve have a, did he have a title match against Roderick? Or was that, am
No,
I?
that's just an example I'm using. That I don't believe that match. That has not happened.
I thought that he had a shot at someone kind of bigger name since he's been on the scene.
He might have, but I'm not. Maybe it was Roderick, but I don't. I don't know. But it was just what I was using as an example of something that would be better off than having this even Steven match between two people,
Oh, yeah.
the audience doesn't care about at this point.
Agreed. They might get into Swerve in the end before Bronson Reed, but I kind of like I feel like there's a lot of potential in Bronson Reed.
Yeah, there's something. Yeah, he could be, but right now I'm not. Once again, I'm losing interest in. He'd be great if they put a manager with him and he was beating people in 3 minutes or less.
Oh yeah, he just straight up squashing people.
Yeah, that's exactly how you get over a guy like Bronson Reed. Not having competitive get matches with guys smaller than him and then losing.
Agreed. Yep, that sums things up nicely on that.
But I will say this about NXT. I feel like the top level stuff in NXT is the best stuff in wrestling right now. The stuff with the Undisputed Era and the top baby faces and the top and the top women, especially as we head into War Games. That has all been great stuff.
Oh yeah, 'cause Shayna Baszler kind of having everyone come at her is a good spot for her to be
That
in.
is, yeah, Shayna's really coming. She is really coming into her own, and this period of time has been really. You could argue that it's been the best for her. I mean, even on Monday last night on Raw, they did a brawl segment with her and Becky Lynch, and she came out on top. I mean, they squared off, and Shayna. Essentially used her MMA skills to disarm Becky and take her down.
Yeah, she's definitely been a winner in this whole
Yeah.
situation.
Her and Adam Cole have really shined this entire last 3 or 4 weeks. And they're the two champions of lead champions of NXT, so yeah, they should be the people, leading the offensive and coming out looking good.
Yeah, and they've certainly given more times than not, they've kind of given Baszler a leg up in one way or another.
Yeah. I mean, she has been champion for, over a year now. She did lose it to once to Kairi Sane, but then got it back pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then since then, I mean, if anything, the issue with Shayna Baszler is no one has been able to get anything on her. Well, I guess until recently, I guess they're trying to push Rhea Ripley as her physical equal to build towards a title match down the line. So that's been good, providing, Shayna with that kind of flow, while also keeping Shayna dominant as well.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess I didn't even think about that, but yeah, NXT is managing at least the top of their card very well while playing into this whole Survivor Series thing.
They definitely are. I mean, NXT has provided the only real life in Raw and SmackDown that there's been, in the last month or so. And NXT, the NXT show itself has improved greatly and is in a really good spot. This week between Wednesday and Sunday is, it's a big week for NXT and the NXT talent to show out, and so far they have. So I once again, it's probably the biggest part of the biggest reason I am looking forward to this weekend's back-to-back night of shows.
Yeah, and I guess with just in case we don't get to a secondary show this week, any chance that Kevin Owens and or Seth Rollins joins the Black and Gold brand?
That's an interesting question. I mean, obviously that this is trying, Triple H is trying to put the ideas in their head to turn against Raw at Survivor Series and join up with and return to NXT. He's made some good points to both of them. In the end, I don't know. Obviously, Seth Rollins needs something, and he probably needs something worse than Kevin Owens does. But I don't know if returning to NXT is that thing. Maybe Owens could go back to NXT. I mean, it's possible, but I don't know if I'd foresee anyone jumping ship on Sunday.
Yeah, I kind of hope it doesn't happen. It has made for some good promos. I thought Triple H's with Kevin Owens, honestly, was exceptionally strong. There is a little bit, of a more obvious tie to Seth Rollins that maybe I took for granted, in some ways. Yeah, it was just definitely an interesting seed to plant before Survivor Series here. And if we didn't have so much brand shuffling already, I might be all for someone turning over a new leaf. But because there has been a lot of brand movement, I'd rather prefer it to kind of settle down and, let's get those characters sorted out and go from there, and then worry about shifting people around again at a later date.
No, I agree. I mean, maybe one other person other than Finn Balor could go to NXT to give that show a star power, a spark of star power. But I don't know if it should come in the form of. That's the thing. Is it really a heel? Would it be a heel turn? What would you even call it? Because once again, these wrestlers have no reason to be, loyal to a specific brand
No. And I
to
mean,
actually care.
even if you look at the history, even if you get fired on one brand, you're like 100% likely to get picked up by the other brand. So, I mean, it's not like you're really going to lose the job and you're still going to be working for the WWE. But, yeah, I mean, that is the problem, is that there really aren't any stakes for any of these things. Well, I shouldn't say any of the elimination matches really don't have any stakes. I can see, and I mean, we were just talking about her a little bit ago, the Shayna Baszler, Bayley, Becky Lynch match That one definitely, you can just see someone, any of those ladies wanting to win that for their own pride.
Yeah, that's the one that's been set up very, very well. Yeah, with, you know, actual personal pride at stake. And I am the best champion. I am the best woman in WWE. That's probably the match I'm most looking forward to. Absolutely. They've done a good job with it, and it should be an excellent match.
Yeah. But, because I'm trying to think. I think there's some other champions matches, aren't there? Because are they doing, like, Intercontinental, U.S., and North American champions?
Yes, they are. I mean, and they've done some a number of stuff over the last couple of weeks with the Undisputed Era and the OC, you know, colliding. So there's at least something between AJ Styles and Roderick Strong. Nakamura, not so much, but, you know, the third champion is in that match. The tag teams, they haven't really done anything to really... from any kind of a real, you know, character promo standpoint, build it up as anything important, but it should still be still be an excellent match with the three teams that are involved.
Well, and you can understand the motivation a little bit more
to
in those situations too.
To be the best tag team, yes.
Yeah.
Personal pride over brand supremacy should definitely be the push going into these matches. I mean, the triple threat elimination matches where, you know, you have enemy baby faces and heels, enemies teaming. Those matches have just the last couple of, you know, 2 or 3 years, you know, those matches have, when it was just Raw versus SmackDown, those matches could be a mess, especially in terms of allegiances and objectives of the wrestlers in the match.
Oh,
turning into
yeah.
a triple threat, that's just going to be a complete clusterfuck. I am not expecting great things from those matches. I mean some of the interactions should be good, especially since you really have not seen, you know, the NXT guys, you know, mix it up with the Raw and SmackDown guys. Like, for example, on the men's side, you know, if Braun Strowman, even though the NXT team has not been announced at all, but if Braun Strowman were to go collide with Keith Lee, I think I would enjoy that.
Oh, right. Yeah, that would definitely... There could be a number of fun confrontations, and I guess I'm kind of in your boat, where there's not going to be anything of consequence, but there should be some fun moments.
Yeah.
In all of those matches, no matter what they are, because
matches like that, either you have to do like really quick, you know, eliminations, or the match has to go really long, and neither, you know either extreme is not isn't a great option. and
right.
It's hard to strike the balance there.
Yes, it can be.
Which has been the issue which I think has been an issue with Survivor, was the Survivor Series team elimination concept after the original novelty wore off after the first few years, you know, back in the 80s.
Yeah, back when it was actually on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. God, I missed that.
I somehow talked my parents into ordering it. I couldn't believe that happened. I was ready for a denial on that one. I was not feeling strong with that sales pitch. But somehow it happened. It was after turkey, so everything was okay, evidently. But yeah, I mean, the novelty of those style of matches is... Like, I'm not sure that I've been geeked up for a Survivor Series match since kind of even coming back to wrestling way back in 97, after like the 3 year hiatus.
Right. Yeah, no. I mean, I guess, some of them were good. I remember the one where Shawn Michaels was left to a 3-on-1 and fought back courageously, but foot fell in the end. Like one like that was good. Maybe a few other ones have been good, but nothing, particularly great either.
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that there are some other good examples of matches or even elimination matches that were enjoyable, but I guess as an overall whole, it's kind of like you said, it's the concept isn't really suited to what they're doing right now, other than history. Making them do it. Yeah, I guess I'll be cool though if they kind of end up with more people doing these three-way matches in the future with champions. I'll be a little more excited about Survivor Series, I guess. And it'll always be interesting to pay attention to who those champions are. Come that time of the year. Anything else to cover before we mosey on out of here?
No, I think let's hit him with a bell time beer.
Prior to going to said hockey game from earlier, I stopped in at Smokehouse Brewing for some lovely rib tips. And I also had a knockdown brown on nitro, nonetheless. It was pretty interesting to have a non-dark beer on nitro. Just not commonly the case. Usually it's a porter or a stout of some variety. This was a straight-up brown ale. So it gave it a nice creaminess, and it definitely gave it a little different punch. And it was pretty solid brown ale. Like, I liked it. It had that nice nuttiness to it that's supposed to be there. Those are always kind of a nice easy drink in my opinion. If you want a lighter beer, brown ales, they're kind of underrated, but they're tasty. So that is the Belltime beer of the week from Smokehouse Brewing, right here in the fine city of Columbus, Ohio. So with that, at DeFrango11, at Stunt Cali, brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us, and have a good night.
Later.